Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. It's a challenge today, so thank you. It's a day in which we honor our mothers, and as we saw before Mass today, we also honor the Blessed Mother for our May crowning. Thank you for saying yes to life, for your supreme sacrifice for the good of your family, and for all the examples that you've given of love and patience, forgiveness, and holiness. Today also is Good Shepherd Sunday, which is always the fourth of seven Sundays of Easter, followed by Pentecost Sunday, when God reveals the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to his disciples. During this Easter season this year, all of our gospel readings are from the book of St. John. Last week's gospel was the encounter of Jesus on the seashore with his disciples fishing, where Jesus said to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And then Jesus instructs Peter, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep." Although this week's gospel is very short, it's very impactful. And once again, Jesus uses the analogy of sheep, but this time he's talking about the shepherd. The image conjured up in our mind is of a trusting, loving relationship, of one who is almost uncomfortably close to the sheep. It's one in where we are united to Jesus in an unbreakable bond of love. A good friend of mine once told me a true story about his farm here where there are sheep and lambs nearby. The mother sheep, the ewe, gave birth to several lambs, but she was unable to feed them herself due to some difficulties. So my friend Deacon Tom and his beautiful wife Barb were carefully able to feed them with the use of baby bottles for some time. This method proved to be quite successful for days, with the ewe's approval, of course. And so after a week or so, as the lambs began to walk around, when it was feeding time, the mother would call out to her lambs, and they would come to her where Tom and Barb were waiting with the bottles. A few weeks into the process, the lambs were then introduced into a larger gated area with other lambs where they were flourishing. Once again, when it was feeding time, the ewe would call out to her lambs, and just they would come to her where Tom and Barb were waiting with the bottles, not the other lambs. Her lambs were listening intently for her voice and to be fed by the bottles from Tom and Barb. And eventually, after a month or so of this process of building up a routine of trust and loving relationship, when it was again time for feeding, the ewe would call out to her lambs, and they would go to Tom and Barb, even though they were not near the mother. The vulnerable lambs simply listened, trusted, and followed. And by all accounts, the sheep lived and enjoyed a long life. This story is as much about the sheep listening as it is the voice in which they were listening to and developing a relationship based on trust. This story is so awesome and so amazing in so many ways. For instance, how God's beautiful creation works in harmony when we're listening to the right voice. It's also a metaphor for us to ponder further upon the ability to communicate, even between different species, to protect, preserve, and sustain life at all stages, especially for the most vulnerable. It's a wonderful story of how our gospel can be understood today as well. It's not only about the calling, but about the want and need to be listening to and to be fed the word of life and the bread from heaven. Each of us is being called, and we're able to respond to this call by attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, reading and reflecting daily on Holy Scripture, the many forms of prayer, making time for Eucharistic adoration in our chapel, frequenting the sacraments, and simply treating humanity with dignity and respect. So what does this mean to us? How are we to understand this in today's environment? In today's gospel, we hear that the Father has given the sheep to Jesus, and no one can take them from the Father or the Son, for the Father and the Son are one. This is wonderful theology, worthy of further meditation. The Christian God is not the same God as other faiths. All throughout Holy Scripture, as in our readings today, we hear Jesus himself describing and clarifying for all generations that the Father and the Son are one. And Jesus is the Son. And when the Holy Spirit is revealed on Pentecost, Jesus says, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." So this is the one true God and the shepherd's voice that we're called to listen for, hear, and follow to eternal life. In coming to define the doctrine of the Holy Trinity under the Spirit's guidance, the oneness of the Father and the Son refers not only to their actions, but in their very being. That is, the Father and Jesus act with the same divine power, because with the Holy Spirit, they are the one unique divine nature. The Trinity lies at the very heart of our Christian faith. Through the incarnation and humanity of Jesus, God enters into a profound relationship of intimacy with all of humanity. And we come to share in the eternal exchange of that love that is the Holy Trinity. The great Saint Athanasius once said, "The Word of God became man so that we might become God." Sharing in God's Trinitarian life and eventually eternal life is the pasture to which the Good Shepherd comes to lead us today, if we will only be attentive to his voice in our decision-making and in our actions. In today's gospel, when Jesus remarked, "No one can take them out of my hand," he's referring specifically to the shepherd protecting the sheep from the wolf. The same verb here refers to the wolf who catches the sheep. Yes, my brothers and sisters, there are wolves living among us in our culture and society today, whose sole purpose is to separate us from the love of God. These wolves can be obvious, ugly, and cunning, but in some cases they can be deceivingly attractive. Spiritual warfare is real. Has any one of us ever experienced spiritual warfare? Have any one of us ever asked a question of God that we don't know the answer to because we leave it up to being a mystery? Many of us have experienced the untimely death of a loved one, an untimely illness, addictions, family problems, loss of a job, or the unexplainable loss of a treasured friendship. Have you ever wanted something so bad when you finally achieve it and attain it, you're still longing for the happiness and peace and joy you thought you would get? Are we listening to or worshiping things or people other than the one true God in our life? This specifically is where our prayer life and personal relationship with Jesus and the Holy Trinity is so beautiful and so important. It's where Jesus says to us, "Never give up. Never give up trying. Never give up hope. Be not afraid. I am with you always." Because Jesus is the only way to true peace and joy and happiness. To live a life that's centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ is not easy or painless today. Every day of our lives, we're being bombarded by various wolves and enemies of our soul that God is permitting to tempt us, thereby testing our faith in him. But what are these enemies? A famous theologian once said, "All the evils to which the soul is subject moves from three main reasons: the worldly way, the devil, and the flesh." The world is difficult today, we know that, but it's always been difficult, if that's any consolation. The devil is more difficult to understand, but the flesh is the most persistent of all and the last to overcome. If we do not conquer the three, we will never conquer one perfectly. However, when we conquer one, we do so with the rest in the same proportion. So we must be vigilant and aware of the voices, but mostly acutely attentive to the sweet sound of our shepherd's voice, our God. It is most important to listen carefully to the message with clarity, understanding, and discernment before acting upon it. My grandmother and mother once told my siblings and I about a family friend who kind of had a big red nose. At the time, we didn't know it, but it was as a result of drinking some strong drink a little too much at times. And with the lesson of listening carefully, they told us, when God was handing out noses, he thought they said roses and said, "I'll take a big red one." It would be easy to follow Jesus if he was living among us today, right? I mean, who wouldn't leave everything to follow Jesus if we saw him standing here with us? That's what I thought when I was young, until I began to read Holy Scripture more frequently, only to find out that those who lived alongside him in his day, even his own apostles at times, walked away from him and remained stubborn and entrenched in their own ways, ignorant of who was actually living amongst them. They were caught up in their own demands, anxieties, and pressures of their world, the temptations of the devil and the flesh, just as we do today. So much so that they were not able to recognize or hear the voice of the Lord in their lives all the time. So this is a good lesson for us. It actually gives us hope today. The battle between good and evil has always existed, but God will never abandon us. A famous author, C.S. Lewis, once said, "It is in the process of being worshiped that God communicates his presence to mankind." It is in the process of being worshiped that God communicates his presence to mankind. In conclusion, given this beautiful symbolism by Jesus in our gospel today, the goal of the sheep is pure and simple: to trust, listen, and follow the voice of our shepherd. How can we accomplish this in our lives? As I mentioned earlier, we can pray, attend Mass, frequent the sacraments, make time for Eucharistic adoration in our chapel, get involved in our parish ministries, or simply treat others with dignity and respect. We can do our best to do good and avoid evil daily. Does this mean that our lives and our families will ever be perfect or without flaw or conflict? Never. As we strive for holiness through our human brokenness, we're offered the gifts of God's great grace and mercy through repentance, reconciliation, forgiveness, and constant conversion. We have been given the best gift in the history of mankind. The gift is our holy and wonderful Catholic faith. It's our faith that Jesus Christ is our shepherd, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, who lived among us, was crucified, died, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and once and for all defeated sin and death. We already won. We just need to listen and follow him. So during this Easter season, there's great cause to be joyful and rejoice. Christ is risen from the dead, and he has defeated sin and death. He has opened the gates of heaven to all of us to worship and adore him with our loved ones, with all the saints, angels, and the white-robed army of martyrs that have gone before us. We have the opportunity to worship him for all of eternity. All that's required of us is to listen for his voice and follow.